Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, the weather outside was frightful, but for the Pats, it was delightful. The coaching from Belichick would go, do not throw, do not throw, do not throw. We had another suspect performance from Lamar Jackson on Sunday. Yeah, that was, and that was the game plan. Some might even say I'm being too kind by calling it suspect performance. Has the league caught up to the former MVP? And speaking of MVPs, Tom Brady might be running away with number four. Hi, everyone. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Chris Broussard, and a cool, swanky, oh-so-happy Kevin Wilds. Buddy, I'm going to let you just sit and gloat and feel it. Toasty. Feels good. You had a wonderful night.
I'm getting the chill off. Ooh, it was a cold night.
It all in. All right, well, let's start there. Up in Buffalo, Monday Night Football, Bills, Patriots, and Mother Nature. And oh, it was a cold and windy night in upstate New York. Both teams knew this game was going to be won or lost on the ground. Mac Jones, Wilds, Baby Goat, knew it more. Threw the ball three times last night. Three times. Patriots ran 46 times for 222 yards, giving new meaning to the term run-heavy offense. New England running away with this game, beating the Buffalo Bills 14-10. It is now seven in a row for the New England Patriots as they reclaim their familiar spot atop the AFC. After the game, defensive standout Matthew Judon summed it up perfectly.
Pass off to the offense, really, everybody. Probably besides Mac, he really didn't do nothing besides hand the ball off.
We knew it was going to be windy. It's just you can't control it. There's no on and off switch. But you can just go out there and have the right mindset and just understand that everything's not going to be perfect. And I don't think there will be a game like that, in a long time. But when it is, you can't control it. And you just got to go out there and do your job. And for us to be able to run the ball the way we did was incredible. And then the defense stepping up and making the plays when they had to make the plays against a really good offense. It was just a good team effort.
So cold up in Buffalo, Mac Jones still hasn't taken off his shoulder pads. Kevin Wilds, our resident Patriots fan,
yes. I
got to start with you. How do Patriots fans like yourself feel this Tuesday morning?
Well, everyone, not just Patriots fans, but anyone who has ever watched an NFL game should be in absolute awe of the masterpiece that Bill Belichick painted last night. Before I go on, I just want to say everyone, Broussard and Nick, and Jenna, has the story of this game wrong. The story of this game is this.
Just ended.
It was windy. It was cold. It was snowy. You're going to need to run the ball. And the Patriots were effective at running the ball, and they beat the Bills. That's not what actually happened. It's what happened in the first half. But in the second half, something different happened. To find a comparison, I'm going to use the world of fiction. We've all seen The Wire. What's the most gangster scene from The Wire? It's not a violent scene. It's a pretty innocuous scene. It's when Marlo is at the register and he takes the lollipop. Now, why did he do that? Did he need to do that? No, lollipops aren't expensive at all. You know why he did it? Because he wanted to do it. Because he could do it. Because he wanted to be disrespectful. That's what Bill Belichick did last night. It was windy for the Bills, too. But Josh Allen threw the ball. No, Wilds. It's because Mac Jones has a noodle arm. He can't throw the ball. His arm's not strong enough. Or maybe strong enough to win a national championship in seven straight games on the top of the AFC East headed for the bye. But maybe it's not strong enough. But he threw the ball 3 times, Nick. Josh Allen threw the ball 30 times. Does anyone think that Josh Allen's arm is 10 times stronger than Mac Jones? Of course not.
Yes. Yes.
We didn't run the ball because we needed to.
I think a lot of people do.
No, it's you. No,
Belichick does.
No.
I think a lot of people do.
We didn't run the ball because we needed to. We ran the ball because we wanted to. Because we wanted to disrespect the Bills.
That part's true.
And we were successful, my friend. Well, here's to the AFC bye week, fellas. Welcome. Welcome
to
the show.
So here's the thing. As much as Wilde's answer there pained me, because it's just filled with such nonsense, it was hard for me to tweet last night because my screen kept getting wet because I was dripping in objectivity watching that game. And I know what people are going to expect me to say this morning. They're going to expect me to take a quarterback-based victory lap. A victory lap about Josh Allen. A victory lap that once again, Bill Belichick and I see eye to eye on quarterbacks, for good or for bad. We both thought Tom Brady was cooked. We were both wrong, but we agreed. We both knew last night you can't trust a guy with elite high school arm talent in those conditions. And Bill Belichick not only agreed with me on that, he called it a high school game in his post-game press conference.
Yeah.
But that's not the story. And I disagree with Wilds that the story is, the Patriots could have thrown the ball but chose not to. They would have liked to convert one of their final 8 third downs. They would have liked to score more than one offensive touchdown. But what they knew is they didn't have to because of the opponent and the conditions and their defense. And that, to me, Broussard, speaks to the bigger point. Bill Belichick understands the assignment of NFL head coach on a week-to-week basis better than any coach in NFL history and exponentially better than any active head coach. Belichick coaches individual games as if before the game his family was kidnapped and the hostage taker said the only way you're seeing them again is if you win this game. He does not allow any superfluous details to cloud his singular vision of winning this game. Oh, is my wide receiver going to be upset? Oh, is this going to hurt Mac Jones' newly minted multiple trademark industry? Oh, what is the comment? Nope. How today do we walk off this field in 3.5 hours with a win? If that means against the Ravens in a playoff game, we unveil a gray area rules exploitation, don't care. I'll deal with the upheaval of that later. We know we can beat them with it. We're going to. If that means calling 3 pass plays, and he might have only called 2. I feel like, Broussard, that first one might have been Mac going rogue because Josh McDaniels didn't seem too happy about it. Where we're just going to run the ball, then we are going to do it. It is a testament to the utter brilliance of the greatest football coach ever, Bill Belichick. That's what we saw last night.
That was great. Broussard. That was fantastic.
Okay. Great point about Belichick, Nick. Excellent. And Wilds, look, I agree with just about everything you said. Only thing, that scene in The Wire with Marlo, it was gangsta, not gangster. It was gangsta. All right. Outside of that, you said was right on the money. But, Nick, I'm going to go to your friend, Mitchell Schwartz, offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs, to tell us what happened last night. You'll remember a week ago, Schwartz was going crazy on Twitter, being physically dominant, imposing your will, breaking their will, etc., is real and has impact. Let's see his next tweet right after that. Because this is where he drives it home. Flip side. That's why the run game success alters defenses. It feels much worse as a defensive coordinator to give up 6 to 8 yard runs than 6 to 8 yard passes. You're getting dominated physically, and it goes against what you're supposed to be about, toughness. That's it. Wilds, your New England Patriots rolled up into Buffalo in the Bills' own backyard and just imposed their will on them. No gimmicks, no tricks, no misdirection. We're running the football. We got six linemen on the field most of the time. You can see it. We are running it down your throats, and there's nothing you can do about it because we are stronger, we are tougher, we are better. That's what they did. And they did it all night long. And then on the other side of the ball, after letting, maybe that's a little too strong, but letting the Bills move down the field in the fourth quarter, Bills get in the red zone twice. First and goal from the six.
That's right.
Patriots push them back 9 yards. All right. Next time, first and 10 from the 14. Patriots push them back 4 or 5 yards. No points.
Oh, that's right.
They just imposed their will on Buffalo. And I'm telling you guys, right now, New England owns Buffalo. They live rent-free in the Bills' head. Mm-hmm. It's going to have an impact,
about that
as
part.
Your boy Mitchell said, Nick.
And there's the rent-free part, and we'll play some Sean McDermott sound for you later when we talk about the Bills, that shows just a level of denialism you don't see from NFL head coaches. But, Wilds, I want to go back to you quickly here because what the Patriots did on offense was incredibly unique. I don't think their offense was their most impressive part of the game. I thought it was clearly their defense. Because for all their dedication to the run, for all of that, they scored one offensive touchdown. Now, I'm not going to be like Kevin Wilds and declare you're only allowed to win games 35-10. If you win game defensively, it's actually a bad thing. I'm not that type of hypocrite. I won't do that. However, if Josh Allen had even just borderline accuracy last night, the Patriots probably lose 17-14 because they were not able to score an additional touchdown. Their defense, however, forced Josh Allen into some of that inaccuracy, sacked Josh Allen on a critical play on the first time they were in the red zone late in the game. And that, to me, Wilds, is the actual bigger story than what the offense did. Is that I feel like Belichick went into that game and said, if we get to 13, we win. And he was right, despite the fact, Wilds, they gave up 7 on a mistake. You know, the one touchdown the defense gave up was on a gift from N'Keal Harry. So I feel like the coaching is here, the defense is here, and then what the offense did is down here as far as what I'm impressed by with the Patriots yesterday.
Yeah, there is a term for that. I'm trying to... Oh, yeah. It's defense wins championships.
Ring number 9 coming for Bill Belichick pretty
where
soon.
Where was this yesterday, buddy?
Ring number,
defenses are allowed to win championships?
Ring number 9.
Where was this yesterday? Listen.
9. Oh, we're counting the Giants. Okay.
We got to talk about former Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Slightly different weather pattern down there in Tampa. The adult goat might be running away with the MVP. Can anyone challenge him? Anyone at all? And throw a name out there. That's next. First things first on a Tuesday morning.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This week, Thursday Night Football, clash of playoff hopefuls, Big Ben and the Steelers heading to Minnesota to face Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. Thursday Night Football, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox, NFL Network, and streaming on Prime Video. All right, time now for Drawing a Blank. And according to Fox Bet, Tom Brady is running away with the MVP. Brady, the favorite to win his fourth award, followed by Rodgers, Allen, Kyler, and Patrick Mahomes.
Get Allen the hell out of here. Josh Allen, Fox Bet, we need to have a meeting. Get Josh Allen the hell out of here, Jenna.
We'll get to you before. We got to get to our MVP, Chris Broussard, first. Brew, the player most likely to challenge Tom Brady for MVP is blank.
Jamie. Yeah, I wouldn't normally do this, but I feel like it's important I just tell the audience so they know. I did in the preseason pick Tom Brady. He was my pick to win MVP, so that we'll see how that works out.
Fair.
The guy, this guy has just steadily climbed, steadily, as others have fallen off, and that's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, of all the quarterbacks, including Brady, they've all had a couple of games where they were off, right? Where they just seem like they're slumping a little bit. And Rodgers hasn't. His first game, obviously, against New Orleans, he was bad. They get blown out 38-3. He's got two interceptions, no touchdowns. Since then, he has been good to outstanding every single week. He also, Nick, has signature wins that even Tom Brady doesn't have. They beat the Rams. He plays well. Throws for over 300 yards, I believe, and a couple of touchdowns. They beat Cincinnati. Throws for the same thing. Over 300 yards, a couple of touchdowns. They beat Arizona without Devontae Adams. He plays great. And even in the loss that he had after New Orleans against Minnesota, he threw for four touchdown passes in that loss. So Aaron Rodgers is climbing. And if Brady stumbles and has a few bad games, Rodgers could overtake him, but clearly right now it's Brady.
Clearly right now, Brady is the deserved favorite, and this was a good pick by Broussard, unlike his Dark Horse MVP pick, which was an utter abomination, if we're being totally
honest.
They can't
seem to win without him.
It was, They were right there in the hunt with him. If you don't know. I'm not going to say Rodgers. I'm obviously not going to say Josh Allen. Like, I really don't understand what's been happening with these Josh Allen odds all year. I don't understand. But I would like to discuss something with Kevin Wildes for a moment, if I may. First, a little historical note, because I gambled heavily on this award last year. So I want the audience to know. Last year at this time, Mahomes was minus 500. So you think Brady's a big favorite right now? Last year, Mahomes, at the beginning of December, you had to bet $500 to win $100. He ended up finishing third. I say that to say this. And it's not, by the way, he didn't lose another game the rest of the year. He was a huge favorite, never lost, and he didn't get it. Why? Because how you finish drastically sways this award. Rodgers went on a crazy tear at the end of last year, as did Josh Allen. That's the history of this award, okay? So there can be some upheaval. So if I'm asking who could overtake Tom Brady, Wildes, I think it might be a guy.
Here we go.
Who has not played up to his standards this year. But despite that, is fifth in the NFL in passing yards.
I knew.
Fifth in passing touchdowns. So the numbers are there. Has a schedule where one could say, wait, is he going to finish the year on a 10-game winning streak? 10-game winning streak. And you might listen. I understand some people are going to say, Nick, this is as ridiculous as Wild's crooked tie. I'm telling you right now, there is some value at Patrick Mahomes at 10-1 right now. There is some value at Patrick Mahomes if the Chiefs finish winning the next five. They're favored in all of them. And if the Patriots just have to lose one time, if Kansas City ends up with the one seed and Mahomes has his strongest month, his final month, if Brady stumbles, it will be Mahomes overtaking him, not Rodgers. And that's without even Wilds including. I do think Rodgers cost himself, fair or not, 3 to 5 of the 50 eligible MVP votes with the COVID nonsense and the lashing out. I do think for some people, call it 10% of the voting population, I think they're going to say you missed a game, your team lost it, you didn't need to miss that game. So for all those reasons, I know it surprised the audience, I wouldn't write off Patrick Mahomes just yet, Wilds.
I know, but are you making an analytical? I don't think it's you made a bad argument at all. But are you making a value proposition?
I never do.
Like, you know, it's like if we were in the NBA, like, you know what, Broussard? I'm going to put $100 on the Heat to win the championship. Like, oh, look at the odds. Like, they could do it. But in your heart of hearts, you know it actually can't happen. So are you making a real argument? Or are you making a probability poker Nick Wright argument?
No, what I am making a real argument, Broussard, in this regard. I think Brady is actually undervalued right now. I think Brady is the prohibitive favorite. However, I also feel like the Bucs might have a couple more losses in them. And Brady, we saw him have a shaky moment at the end of the first half against the Falcons. I think no AB. I think Brady's numbers might depress a bit. And if that door opens, Broussard, you're in the media. We're all in the media. But you have a vote for NBA awards, right? I don't, because the world is not a fair place. You know as well as I do that narratives can all of a sudden sway these things. Bill Simmons talks about it all the time. Karl Malone won an MVP award in the late 90s that really it started with a Jackie McMullen column. Jackie wrote, is Karl Malone actually the MVP this year? And then everyone started saying, wait, is he actually the MVP this year? And if the Chiefs' win streak creeps up to 7, 8, 9, if they become the one seed, don't you think there will be a media groundswell of, my God, we've been unfair to Mahomes. He's third in yards. He's third in touchdowns. The team is en route to 13. Don't you think that's in play, Broussard?
Yeah, it's definitely possible. Like, Mahomes is not out of it. I think he's far more in it than Josh Allen. I'm with you. I have no idea, and I've been saying this for weeks. How in the world is Josh Allen still in the top three? So, but it's going to take more than the win streak, Nick. His numbers are going after, and you're right, his numbers overall really aren't bad. We're judging him by a Jordan-esque standard, right? That's why we're looking down on what he's done so far. But if they have a win streak and he begins, he doesn't have to do what he did the previous years, but his, you know, three touchdowns a game, 300 yards and stuff like that. Like, if he does that and Brady stumbles to your point, and Rodgers would have to stumble too. Because, look, there are a few media members that will hold it against him, but I think overall, guys will let that go unless it's nip and tuck, and then you'll hold that against Rodgers. So, but no, Mahomes is not out of it. You made a good argument.
All right, you did mention Josh Allen. The only thing worse than being allowed to throw the ball just three times is losing to a team whose quarterback threw the ball just three times. How's Bills Mafia feeling this Tuesday morning?
Jenna.
We break it down next. First things first.
Bills Mafia.
Becky, your first things first. We're talking Lamar Jackson now. It wasn't just the failed two-point conversion Sunday where Lamar missed his target. The former MVP struggling with accuracy, not just in the loss to the Steelers, but, I mean, really over the last stretch of the season. Fair to ask if the league's figured him out? No way, says Steelers safety Minkah Fitzpatrick, who had a warning for anyone doubting the former MVP.
One, I don't think anybody will ever be able to figure Lamar Jackson out. The type of player that he is and the problems that he causes for teams, you know, it's nothing that you could just figure out. You know what I'm saying? I think we play well again because we play him twice a year. We have kind of a bead for, you know, how he plays and what he likes to do. It's just everybody doing their job up front, you know, keeping him in the pocket, in the back end, not letting any balls going over our head and anything that's, you know, thrown in front of us, coming up and tackling us. So it's just a team effort in regards to, you know, limiting their big play ability.
Well, look, despite the praise from his opponents, Lamar, as we mentioned, struggling since week six, basically at the bottom of the league in every major passing category. Wow. Ravens still 8-4, though, despite all of that. Back here with our favorite defensive legend, LeVar Arrington. LeVar, has the league figured out Lamar?
I mean, I think Minkah Fitzpatrick said it correctly. I don't think that the league has figured out Lamar Jackson, but I think the key is to figure out the Baltimore Ravens offense. They've got four losses. You just saw the stat line that Lamar Jackson is putting up. By no means does that stat line say that Lamar Jackson isn't the same player that he's been in years past. All it's saying is that this offense is performing poor than it was in his first couple seasons as the starting quarterback. So I think there's accuracy to what Minkah is saying. Like, do you have to keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket? Yes, we saw that take place with Josh Allen. Josh Allen's having a difficult year this year as well. So when you're talking about quarterbacks that have that type of athleticism, the ability to run and escape outside of broken down pockets, broken down plays, defenses are catching up to how to play against those types of quarterbacks. And I think that's the key, is that you got to cover longer. You got to find ways to have guys in the right positions in those windows that may exist when the quarterbacks move around. You almost have to play quarterbacks like you're punting the ball anymore with your defensive fronts. You got to have faster linebackers, not linebackers that can thump and take on tight ends, but linebackers that are small enough to run and catch a Lamar Jackson or covering the pass plays. So to me, I don't think that the defenses have caught up to Lamar Jackson. I think that they're doing a much better job of policing the Baltimore Ravens offense.
And Lamar, I believe, is clearly having the worst year of his career. And it's not a great trajectory. Unanimous MVP to the next year, very good quarterback to this year, by any metric, below average. And I understand some of the audience might say, well, those passing stats don't incorporate what he does with his legs. That's true, but it's also true he doesn't do as much with his legs anymore. He has two rushing touchdowns this year. He has two runs of greater than 25 yards. By the way, all of that came in weeks 1, 2, or 3. Since then, zero rushing touchdowns, zero explosive runs. That's a problem. And I don't think the league has figured him out, Broussard, but I know the media has not figured out how to talk about it. Because I am at this point almost as irritated with the folks who will refuse, and I'm not talking about LeVar here because I think LeVar's commentary was very fair, but there it's especially popular in the NFL media podcasting area that refuse to ever criticize Lamar. It's patronizing. I'm almost as irritated with those folks as the folks who, before he came out of Louisville, was like, he's a wide receiver. He can't play quarterback. People are still, I think, scarred by how Lamar was talked about as he was coming into the league, to where otherwise smart people act like he's the one quarterback that is above criticism. Listen, 8 times this year. He's had a passer rating below 90. The only quarterback in the league with more is Trevor Lawrence, who's a rookie on a terrible team. Lamar has been bad this year. The Ravens have been lucky to get to 8-4. That doesn't mean you don't give him a second contract. It doesn't mean he's a bum. But I am shocked at the kid glove treatment he gets in some corners of the commentary world, as if he's not a guy who's won a league MVP and is staring at $40 million a year. He should be judged the way we judge Allen, the way we judge Mahomes, the way we judge Rodgers, which is harshly when they play poorly, and he's played poorly this year.
Yeah, it's almost like it's politically incorrect to criticize Lamar, Nick, and so that's a good point.
It's weird.
Another good point you made is that, and I was saying it in the offseason, but I especially was saying it early in the season, sign the contract. And Lamar came out right early and said, look, once the game starts, I don't even want to think about the contract. I'm focused on every week's game. And I get that, but that's why you have representatives, and I know his is his mom, but they got to get that contract signed, because this isn't the greatest year to have when you don't have your long-term contract signed. But LeVar, I agree with you in that I thought Minka Fitzpatrick said some smart stuff. And I understand Minka not wanting to come out and be like, yeah, we figured Lamar out. But I think that's kind of what he said. He said what he said, he's always going to be dangerous. And we know that. Whether you figured him out or not, he always can break a big one on you. He can throw the football. We've learned that. So he's always going to be dangerous. But let's face it, they have figured him out to a large degree. Doesn't mean he can't ever become what he was. Because one thing he has done is he's always answered his critics. First, can he throw the football? He shows us he can. Can he be accurate? He shows us he can. Can he throw outside of the numbers to his receivers? He shows us he can. How many fourth quarter comebacks did he have with his arm earlier in the season, right? And now what defenses are saying is, we're no longer going to make you beat us with your arm. We're going to blitz you, make you uncomfortable in the pocket, and then see what you can do. And that's where he struggled. It started against Cincinnati. They didn't do it all game. But when they blitzed him, he struggled with the cover zero. Miami did it practically the whole game. And now he's seeing a steady diet of that almost every week. Pittsburgh, blitz heavy, got pressure on him. He sacked 7 times. So he can't hold the ball as long. He's got a – you saw in the Pittsburgh game, he had some receivers open at times, Wilds, and he just held on to the ball and didn't throw it quick enough. So it is – Lamar is now being called on to make another adjustment to where he can play well against the blitz, which is what he doesn't do right now.
So I want to – LeVar, I want to show you an interception and get your take on it, because I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around the – have defenses figured Lamar out versus he's just making poor decisions when he's pressured. So this was, he's got 5 interceptions in the last 2 games. This one, he's just faded back here, and he's trying to make something happen. It's a let-me-make-something-happen interception. Does that mean that the Steelers figured him out? To me, that just looks like a little bit of pressure, and rather than taking the sack or throwing it out, he's still in the pocket. He tries to make something happen, because occasionally that works out. It's a little Mahomesian. You know what? Every once in a while, I can pull something amazing out when I'm under pressure, when I'm going back off my back foot. So what is the balance between, no, there's a whole schematic thing happening with Lamar Jackson versus, he's just making bad calls?
Yeah, I mean, that was a poor decision, and I don't think anyone would dispute that that was a poor decision by Lamar Jackson on that play, starting with Lamar Jackson. I think the one thing that we have to be careful about in speaking on Lamar Jackson is getting off into the idea of thinking that he's untouchable or handling him with kid gloves versus looking at it from a more football critical perspective. Lamar Jackson, we all know what he can do in terms of being able to run the ball, scramble, be elusive, and that circumstance. But But what we're looking at right now is a team that has to evolve as an entire group, right, on the offense side of the ball. So when you see Lamar Jackson, it's not that Lamar Jackson can't take off every single play. And I think that that's what Minka is saying. You got to be careful in saying that, oh, well, Lamar can't run away from defenders anymore. He can't figure out the blitz anymore. Yes, he can. And he can when he wants to. But when you look at the things that we're criticizing, you should actually be praising him for it, because the reality of it is that Lamar Jackson is trying to evolve his game. He's trying to grow his game at this point. It's not about just going after the contract. It's about what his legacy is going to be. Will his legacy be that he was only good enough to run for victories? Will his legacy be he couldn't get past a certain round in the playoffs because he wasn't able to be a pocket passing quarterback? You brought up quarterbacks that are able to throw the ball in the pockets, and they're not run first guys. This guy is working on his game. So while we're sitting here saying, oh, this is his worst season, this is by far a situation where Lamar Jackson could be in some serious trouble. No, he's not. Relax. Pump the brakes, Nick. Everybody, pump your brakes on saying that the dude can't do what he has done historically. He can still run away from every single person in the National Football League. He could run away from all of us on this panel backwards. The bottom line is he's trying to figure out how to be more of a quarterback and evolve his game. We should be praising that, not criticizing him for that.
Okay, but hold on, just real quick. I'm not saying he can't still run away from guys. I'm not saying he can't still be great. What I am saying is he hasn't been this year. And I think ideally, you'll work through stuff in practice, and in the games, you play well. And
that's
this year
not necessarily
well in the
true.
Games.
That's
and,
you cannot do game reps in practice. For his game and the things that he's trying to work on and develop, you cannot simulate what he's going to. You cannot simulate T.J. Watt coming off of the edge in practice.
That's
it's not going to happen because you're not allowed to hit in practice. It's just very different. So his evolution is going to have to come through the scrutiny and the criticisms of evolving during real live games.
All right,
but
LeVar,
right is, game he,
for
is
Lamar.
He? Okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll Ravens visit the Browns Sunday. No, we won't. Lamar had 4 picks against the Browns 2 weeks ago, so let's see how he rebounds. Stick around, LeVar. On the other side, we go back to Chili Buffalo. What type of statement did Belichick make last night? That's ahead. First and first.
Brock Lesnar is back, and he's leaving a wake of destruction on the way to a Universal Championship match at Day One. Plus, Happy Corbin takes on Jeff Hardy. It's an all-new edition of Friday Night SmackDown, live at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on Fox.
Back here, first things first, back to our top story, Monday Night Football. Bills, Patriots, and Mother Nature, all three of them last night. It was a blustery one in upstate New York. Both teams coming in knowing that the run game was going to be the game. Mac Jones knew it just a little bit more. Yeah, he only threw the ball 3 times all night for 19 yards. They ran the ball 46 times for 222 yards. New England gets the win over Buffalo 14-10. They've now won 7 straight games, and they are now back on top of the AFC. Wilds, 3 pass attempts from your baby goat. That's all Bill Belichick allowed him to throw. Was this something or nothing?
Oh, it was something, Jenna. Jenna, I'll be 100% honest with you. I wish it was 0.
Please.
I thought 3 was too many. Because 3, it's like, I threw the ball 3 times. I wish Bill Belichick didn't throw it at all and just kept on running and running and running. And it's never going to stop, Buffalo. It's never going to stop. 3rd and 2, 3rd and 5, even if Mac Jones had a quarterback sneak, 3rd and 16, we are never going to stop. We're never going to stop running. So you can tell me, oh, no, Wilds, it's because Mac Jones is not strong enough. He doesn't have a strong enough arm like the cannon that Josh Allen has, or from Wyoming, right? Played in the snow.
That is correct.
Get out of here. Josh Allen threw the ball 30 times. Mac Jones threw the ball 3 times. Does anyone really think that Josh Allen's arm is 10 times more powerful than Mac Jones?
You're just making up a fake math equation. Nope.
This is what we have in Nick, and you know it.
The idea
Belichick didn't run the ball because he needed to. He didn't run the ball because he needed to. He ran the ball because he wanted to. Because he could.
Wilds, was the game
because
in doubt?
The Bills couldn't stop
Wilds, with 2 minutes left, was the game in doubt? With two, were you worried?
To me, it was. To Belichick, I don't think it was. To me, I was nervous,
but
yes.
You know it
I
was.
Saw Belichick,
no.
Like Jack
when
Harlow,
the Bills,
like there.
In
no.
the fourth quarter.
Nobody's moving. Nobody's
when
nervous.
When the Bills in the fourth quarter twice, down less than a touchdown, had the ball at the mouth of the Patriots' goal line, the game was in question. When the Patriots kept going three and out, when the Patriots were 2 of 12 on third downs and 0 for 8 on their final third downs, the game was in doubt. So, of course, this is something. Now, I have spent, if you're just tuning in, the better part of 2 hours giving full and total credit to the Patriots defense and Bill Belichick. It was a great win for the franchise, for the coach. With that said, this was not Georgia Tech running the triple option because it can't be stopped en route to a 35-3 victory. They didn't throw the ball because, as we have seen time and again, whether you guys want to admit it or not, you know who sees eye to eye with me on quarterbacks? Bill Belichick. Now, we both thought Tom Brady was cooked. We were both wrong, but I thought they should move on from him. He thought they should move on from him. We both thought last night, you can't trust Mac Jones to throw a single pass down the field. He, for the first time in his career, zero pass attempts in the second quarter, zero pass attempts in the third quarter. Not Mac Jones' career, Belichick's career. Don't tell me it's the windiest game they've ever played in, because Belichick was asked about it, said, no, I've played in far windier games. He's never been this run heavy. So it, of course, is about a lack of faith in the quarterback's arm strength or decision-making. You choose your own adventure of, uh-oh, it's one or the other, Broussard. There's no other logic to it. The offense wasn't humming, and they refused to try something else.
There is more logic. And you, look, you two kids bickering on each extreme of the spectrum. All right, let me come in again as the voice of reason. Nick, to sit here and say that Bill Belichick has no faith in Mac Jones is ridiculous. He chose Mac Jones over a former MVP that he really liked in Cam Newton after just a few weeks. All right? Against Tampa Bay, which had the best run defense in the league, and Tom Brady's coming back. You really want to beat him because he made you look bad last year by winning that Super Bowl with Tampa. And he lets Mac Jones throw it 40 times. Why?
And what happened?
Because we can't run against this defense, so we got to throw. Well, they lost, but Mac played well. It wasn't his fault. All right?
No, he didn't.
And then last night, the game plan, I'll give you three is an extreme. 3 points is an extreme. He was a young kid. What was it? His fourth start or something like that? Come on. Look, Nick, a week ago, Mac Jones, MJ10 from now on, threw for 310 yards against Tennessee.
So why didn't he throw yesterday?
All right.
So why didn't he throw yesterday?
I'm going to tell you why. Now, three is obviously an extreme. However, the windy conditions were a factor. All right? They affected Josh Allen, and they affected Mac Jones and the way Belichick used him. And we know how good Buffalo is against the pass. They're the best pass defense in the league. So what do? We're going to run against them. And he saw that it was working to some degree. And Mac doesn't have the strongest arm. I'll give you that. It's not like a noodle, but it's not the strongest arm. So Belichick did what was the right thing to do, and he did what it took to win the game. You can't put this on Mac. It's nothing. Because in better conditions, Mac will throw the football. This was nothing. This was absolutely positively nothing. 2 weeks from now after the bye week, watch how MJ10 is slinging it on the ball.
Laser show.
Hold on a second. Wild started the show and the segment by saying, in 40 years, we'll remember the game. You know why?
Yeah.
Because we've never seen something like it. So we cannot act like, okay, they were just a little run heavy. They threw three passes. You cannot pretend that that is not at least in part a statement about the quarterback. And does Mac Jones have a noodle arm compared to me? No. Does he have a noodle arm compared to the other 31 starters in the league? Abso-bleeping-lutely. And Belichick knows it.
Why is he so effective? Why is he so effective? Why is he so effective?
We're talking about last night, Broussard. Well, I don't think he is that effective. I don't think he is. Personally,
they're
9-4.
They're the number one seed. They're the number one seed in the NFC. Would they?
Are you really going
good if they kept Cam Newton?
No, he's
if they kept Cam Newton, would they be in this place 9-4?
No, I'm not saying that. No, but you guys are really gonna end the show on quarterback wins. On a day that a quarterback got a win throwing three passes. I work with cavemen, Jenna. It's just quarterback.
It's about the W.
Two for three.
The W. That's a
glory,
Wild.
We'll see you tomorrow.
That's a W.
Undisputed right now.